Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday morning, 8:05 a.m. for 55 full minutes. First half of the hour, teaching from God's Word. In the last half of the hour, we're going to bring you some great contemporary Christian and gospel music. And so we say welcome to each and every one of you, especially if you've tuned in for the first time this morning. We say welcome to you, and we hope you come back each and every Sunday morning and make this a regular stop on your Sunday morning schedule. And for those who have been faithful listeners now for many months and years, we say welcome to you as always. And we appreciate you, we love you, and we're thankful for you, especially for those of you who have helped contribute to pay for this radio airtime. We're especially grateful to you. Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry is a ministry dedicated to getting the good news of the gospel, the message that Jesus saves, out to the lost of the nations and into the prison and into this region. And so for that purpose we exist. And I again thank each and every one of you who have helped to contribute to pay for this radio airtime. And we invite each and every one of you to partner with this ministry. There's a couple of ways that you can do that. First, we request your prayer support. Each and every week we ask for you to pray for us, to pray for the radio ministry, that it would have impact in the prison and impact in this region and across the globe through the internet. And also we ask you to help be a contributor to this ministry, and not only for the radio ministry to help pay for this radio airtime, but also for the purposes of international crusades and foreign missions. We're raising money for a orphanage in Mumias, Kenya at this time, and so we ask you to pray about your part in that, to pray about building an orphanage for 30 to 40 children out in western Kenya. And I'm just believing that the Lord is going to bring somebody to this ministry and do it swiftly and do it quickly, that will be able to help provide the money. We're asking for $20,000 to be raised to help build this orphanage, and another $5,000 or so to provide operating expenses for each year. And so I'm just believing the Lord is going to do that this year. I'm standing in faith and believing and trusting that He will do that. And so if you think you would be interested in a project like that, or you'd like to be put on the email list as an intercessor, a prayer warrior for this ministry, well, just email me at pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie at hotmail.com. And let me know you're interested. Let me know you want to be on the intercessory prayer list, and also that you would like to be considered for contribution. If you have questions or comments about any of the projects that we're raising money for, why, just drop me an email, pureprairie@hotmail.com. And we'll do our best to answer all the questions that you have. In addition to that, you can go to the website, gatheredtheoutcast.com. That's gatheredtheoutcast.com. And check out that website, see what's there. We've got videos posted of past mission trips and past crusades in Africa. Also have videos posted of the orphanage site over there in Mumias and a Christian school in Nairobi that we're raising money for. And so if you are interested in that, well, just take a look at that website. Get in touch with me again, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast Ministry, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. We also have a teaching blog, jimrau.blogspot.com. That's jimrau, R-O-W-H.blogspot.com. And check out that teaching blog. There's 290 teachings there on different subjects: gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual warfare, sexual immorality, prophetic dreams and visions. And so there's a lot of good information, a lot of good teaching, a lot of revelation there. And you will be inspired and interested to see that teaching blog. And I'm doing a series called Walk in the Spirit that will actually kind of mirror this series that I'm doing on the radio, and I'm doing it on the blog, but it'll have a lot more entries on the blog than what will be spoken over the radio. So check it all out, jimrau.blogspot.com, and the website gatheredtheoutcast.com. The mailing address, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. And the email, pureprairie@hotmail.com. In addition, if you have prayer requests or just comments, or you want to discuss anything pertaining to this ministry or pertaining to the scripture, just email me and let me know, and I would be happy to discuss it with you and to pray with you over your prayer requests. Well, we're going to have a message here in a minute, Walk in the Spirit, Part 2, a continuation of the message we started last week, Walk in the Spirit, Part 2, taken from Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So if you have your Bible, you can open it up there to Galatians 5, verse 16, 17, and we'll take that up in a minute, right after our prayer time. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the blessings and the privilege it is to come before you today to worship and to fellowship with you, to study your word, and to gather over these radio airwaves. Lord, we pray for those listening today that you would meet each and every person where they need it, Lord, that you would touch those that need physical healing, strengthen those in their walk with you, strengthen those who are stumbling right now and those who are broken and those who need emotional repair and binding up of their wounds. We ask you to bless them today. We pray for those in the prison, that you would bless them and strengthen them. Pray for their families, especially as they are separated from their families. And we just pray for the children. Lord, we pray for our country, for our president and the Congress and the Supreme Court. We ask you to bless them, Lord, and to be with them. And pray for, especially for the Congress as they consider the decisions regarding the fiscal security of this nation and the fiscal future of this nation. We ask you to give them wisdom, give them directions, give them counsel and guidance. And we thank you for this great country. We thank you for the opportunity we have just to come before you today on this radio broadcast to seek you, Lord, and to worship you and to study your word. And Lord, we just pray that your word would be hidden in our hearts and it would stir up in us a desire to serve you, a desire to be obedient to you. And Lord, we thank you and we ask you to bless this message in your precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're talking today about walking the Spirit, and this is a continuation of a message we started last week. It's going to be a several-part message, so stay tuned each and every week, and you'll see a continuation. You'll see a continuum, a thread that runs through all of these messages. And Paul tells the Galatians in chapter 5 of Book of Galatians, verse 16 and 17, he says, I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do these things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And I have in parentheses here that you are above the law. In other words, you're not striving to maintain a relationship with the Lord by law keeping or by keeping a set of rules. You're not striving to intimacy with the Lord by rule making and rule keeping. What you're doing is you are above the law, and you're not released from moral obligation. You're not released from fulfilling the law in your life, but you no longer strive to be a law keeper. You no longer strive to satisfy your relationship or to grow in intimacy with the Lord by rule keeping. You are set free from that to just serve the Lord out of his grace and out of his mercy, out of his abundance, out of your love to seek him, and out of your love to be obedient to him, and out of your love to just walk with him. And so your obligation to keep his commandments is not out of duty, but it is out of love, and just your desire to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's out of your desire to be righteous and holy, just as he is righteous and holy. And so Paul says that the deeds of the flesh are set in opposition to the Spirit, and we know that to be true in our own lives. All of us battle deeds of the flesh, and Paul goes on here in verse 19 to name some of the deeds of the flesh, and I'm sure we can all relate to some of those deeds. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, and in verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Verse 21, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And what Paul is saying is that if you are practicing these things in an unrepentant state, in an unrepentant manner, that you have no remorse and you're not desiring to repent of them, he says, if you are called home to see the Lord, if you're called home, if your life is ended, you take your last breath here on this earth, he says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you are practicing such things as these deeds of the flesh in an unrepentant and an unremorseful manner. That's not to say that sometimes you're not going to be caught in sin, that you're not going to be trapped in sin, but there are times when we are trapped in sin, when we stumble, when we can't seem to get out, dig out, but Paul says that you need to repent of these things, that you need to be washed clean, that you need to be set free, that you need to seek the Lord, and he will give you the strength to break the bonds of these sins off of your life. And as you do that, as you come to the Lord in a repentant state and ask him to forgive you, then he will be faithful and true to forgive us of all unrighteousness, and you shall then inherit the kingdom of God. The big issue is, don't play a game of Russian roulette with the Lord. Don't play gambling games with the Lord. If you're trapped in sin, if you're practicing any of these deeds of flesh, impurity, immorality, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, witchcraft, if you're practicing any of these things, I would suggest, brothers and sisters, that you don't gamble, that you don't play any kind of game of gambling with the Lord, and you get out of these sins. You cry out for him to deliver you. You cry out for him to set you free. You ask for Lord to give you the strength to break the bonds, to break the chains, to break the agreements with anything that you have made with the devil, any agreements that you have made, and God will be faithful and true to do that, because his will for you is that you come to know him. His will for you is a walk with him of intimacy, a walk with him when you are no longer trapped in the deeds of the flesh, but you are walking in the Spirit with the Lord. Well, I'm going to talk the rest of this message about what it looks like in a practical sense to walk in the Spirit, what it looks like in a day-in, day-out, practical manner to walk in the Spirit and not be trapped and not be in bondage to the deeds of the flesh. And first, I'm going to talk about daily prayer, step number one or leg number one of walking in the Spirit. And I'll just review last week. I see walking in the Spirit as a three-legged stool, as a three-part endeavor. And the first is daily prayer. And part two is study of God's Word, a daily study of God's Word. And part three is fellowship with the saints. So those are the three parts of walking in the Spirit. Number one, daily prayer. Number two, daily study of God's Word. And number three, a regular worship and regular attendance and fellowship with the saints who are there to worship the Lord and praise him and encourage and strengthen each other. Well, the first part, daily prayer, Paul tells us to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we know it is God's will for you to pray. And you might ask, Jim, well, how much should I pray? Well, how much do you want to pray? How much does God want you to pray? Paul says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, that you pray without ceasing. And so I don't suggest that you close your eyes and fold your hands while you're driving your car down the road, but I do suggest that you can pray while you're driving down the road. Just start speaking to the Lord and call out when you see people. Just call out, Lord, bless those people or intervene in their life. There's a lot of different ways that you can pray, and there's ways that God wants you to pray. But the point of the instruction there that Paul gave the Thessalonican church is just be in continual prayer. Be in continual prayer. And I know that many of us are consumed with our time on the internet, with our time in front of the television set, with our time texting and talking with people on the telephone, and many of these things that we do really don't amount to a whole lot. They don't really bring glory to God. They don't really enhance our walk with Him or our intimacy with Him. And so I want you to pray about asking the Lord just to give you the strength to break away from some of your electronic gadgets, to break away from some of the things that consume your time. Spend more time in prayer, brothers and sisters. This country needs prayer. Your family needs prayer. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, everything needs more prayer than it is receiving right at this time. And so God is wanting us, it is His will for us, that we pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Well, that brings to mind another scripture in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4, 5, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then in Philippians 4, 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord. And so Paul again is saying, be anxious for nothing. Don't spend your time in worry. Don't spend your time chewing your fingernails and grinding your teeth. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication. Supplication is a cry for mercy. It's a cry out for God to bless us for things that we don't deserve, and to give us grace in ways that we don't deserve. It's unmerited favor, mercy, and so we ask the Lord through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Paul says. In other words, sprinkle your prayers, sprinkle your life, sprinkle your attitude with thanksgiving. In all things, be thankful. In all things, give thanks to the Lord, even for the breath that you take each and every day, and for the provision that you have to pay your bills, for the provision that you have to keep the heat on and the lights on in your house. If you have all of that, be thankful for that. And then Paul says, make your requests known unto the Lord through prayer and supplication. And so that is the admonition that Paul gives the Philippians. He gives the people in Thessalonica. And we can go back to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gives some instruction on prayer. And he says here in Matthew 6:6, he says, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will repay you. And so the implication is that we have to separate ourselves from the world, that we have to get off by ourselves, and that's a difficult thing to do in some circumstances, but it is a requirement. God says, get away from the world, get away from the noise, get away from the electronic things that have consumed us, the internet, the TV, the telephone, the radio, all of these things that are so much part and parcel of life here in America that we just take for granted that they're supposed to be on all the time. And Jesus says, go to your inner room. In other words, get away from the busyness of life. Get away from the claptrap and the noise of life. And shut your door. In other words, he's saying, shut your door on all of that noise. Shut your door on all of that that consumes us and keeps us from prayer. And he says, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will repay you. And the implication of a Father who is in secret is that he is hidden from view. He is hidden from the noise and the hustle and bustle and the busyness of daily life. And so if you separate yourself physically and get your mind set on spiritual things, get your mind set on the Father above, and get your mind set on Him who is hidden and Him who is listening but has to be engaged in a spiritual way, in a reverent way. And when you do that, then your Heavenly Father will hear you and He will repay you. In other words, the reward for your prayer is that He hears your prayer and He will answer you and He will bless you. John 14:14 says that He will, Jesus said to the disciples, ask for anything that you want and it shall be granted unto you. And of course that is contingent upon the fact that it is according to God's will, that what you're asking for is according to God's will. And back to Matthew 6:7, it says, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. And so he's saying, don't just rattle on, don't just try to give God a volume or a quantity of words. He's not interested in that. That's not what he's wanting. He sees your heart. He understands what you need. He understands the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so as you delight yourself in the Lord, as you seek to obey Him, seek to be obedient and to serve Him, then He will give you the desires of your heart. And so back to Matthew 6:7 says, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. In other words, don't just offer up a canned prayer of many words. The Lord knows your needs. In verse 8, Jesus says, do not be like the Gentiles who pray meaningless words. He says, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him. And so if our Father knows what we need, He knows how best to give it to us. His ear is attentive to our cry, and what He's really asking for, beloved, what He's really asking for is for us to pray His will for our life back to Him. In other words, He wants us to come into agreement with Him. He wants us to pray His will for our life back to Him, and to show Him that our hearts are in agreement with Him, that our hearts are in agreement with His will for our life and for our family, for our church, for our ministry, for our nation. And when you do that, when you start to pray back to Him His will that He has declared over you and over your family, then you are coming into agreement with Him, and He knows what you need even before you ask, and He just wants you to come into agreement with Him that these things that He has declared over you, that these things then will come to pass. And that is your heart's desire, that these things, His will for your life, will come in to your life. Well, Jesus then goes on to share what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And there's three different aspects to the Lord's Prayer that I want to highlight today. And the first part is the praise, honor, and acknowledgement of God and who he is and His will for His life. Jesus says, pray then in this way, verse 9, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that is the acknowledgement of who God is. That is giving Him glory and honor and credit for who He is, and praise for who He is. And you're acknowledging that His will is to be done here on this earth. You're acknowledging that His will is to be done in your life and in the life of your family. And so you are positioning yourself before God. You are humbling yourself and positioning yourself before God. And when you come to that place and understand that He is the sovereign God, the creator of all things, the ruler of the universe, and through Him and by Him all things were made, and through Him and by Him all things will be done. And when you come to that realization, then you are in a proper position before God. The second aspect of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And that aspect is to petition the Lord for your needs, and God's okay with that, for you to ask Him for the things you need. God's okay with you petitioning Him. Maybe your needs are taken care of, and so you're petitioning, you're interceding for others who have needs, and God's okay with that too. He knows their needs also as well as your needs. And so as you ask the Lord to give us this day our daily bread, you're saying, Lord, I want You to take care of me. I want You to take care of my needs, my needs for food, for water, for clothing, for shelter. And God, again, knows your needs. He knows what you need even before you ask. And so he is more than willing to take care of you. He's more than willing to take care of your needs here on this earth. And the third aspect of the Lord's Prayer is that he will give us the strength. And so we ask the Lord to give us the strength for the spiritual things. Number one, to forgive others. And the second is to keep the devil from us and to lead us not into temptation. And so he says here in verse 12, forgive us of our debts or our trespasses as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so the prayer ends up with a petition to the Lord for strength in our spiritual walk, to help us to forgive supernaturally, because forgiveness is not a common thing for humans to do. Forgiveness is not a natural human trait. We want to have vengeance. We want to lash out at people. We want to be angry and bitter at people who have hurt us. And so we ask the Lord to give us a supernatural blessing to be able to forgive those who have hurt us, and also to keep the devil from us, that in the strength that we have as humans, in that walking in the spirit and the flesh are in opposition to each other. And so we're saying, God, give us the strength to lean on you, lean not on our own understanding, but in all things acknowledge you to make our path straight. And so we acknowledge God to strengthen us against the temptations that would take us down, against the temptations that would cause us to stumble, and to lead us not into temptation. In other words, Lord, just give us the strength when temptation presents itself, and help us to walk away from it, help us to turn away from it. And as we ask God to do that, as we ask God to give us that strength, then he will do it. He will show us a way out. He will do it for us and give us always a way out when temptation presents itself. Well, this is part one of the walking in the Spirit. That's daily prayer. And I just suggest, if you don't have a time to pray, that you just make a commitment. Make a commitment to pray each day at, say, 9 o'clock at night before you go to bed, and get off in your room, get off by yourself, or maybe early in the morning, 5, 6 in the morning, before you start your workday. And just make a commitment, and then be sincere and be devout, be committed. And as you do that, the Lord will give you the strength then to carry it through. We're going to continue next week in talking about walking in the Spirit. We're going to continue talking about prayer, and I'm going to discuss some about fasting. And so as you continue to pray, be in prayer that these messages will sink into your heart and transform you and profoundly change your walk with the Lord into a walk of great intimacy. Well, it all starts with Jesus Christ. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I suggest you take him into your heart today. I suggest you get down on your knees and do business with the Lord. None of us knows when our last day on this earth will be, and so I suggest you cry out to the Lord, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways. If you've never confessed him, find someone to confess him to. And as you do that, get your walk in the Spirit started, and get your walk with the Lord and your walk with intimacy with the Lord started. And it all starts with Jesus Christ. It all starts by saying, Jesus, yes, I want to serve you. I want to commit my life to you. And so I give my life to you. And he will be faithful and true then.